Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Good morning, All Nations Church. Good morning, friends and family. Happy birthday, America. Hallelujah. If you haven't had a chance to say hello to your neighbor sitting next to you yet this morning, go ahead and do that, would you? We've gathered together today for a family picnic. Hallelujah. Special welcome, Clive, to you and your family. Praise the Lord. To all of our friends and family watching online, and to our many families, extended families, who are taking advantage of this long weekend to get out of town and get a breath. But welcome. Welcome. Good to see you all. It's good for us to remember from time to time and reflect on what the Lord has done in our particular scenario. And at this time of year for Americans, it's good for us to let our minds wander back a bit and take a fresh perspective on where God has brought us and be thankful to Him for that. I was reminded of the words of America the Beautiful, particularly the part that says, "Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet." You know, we're always on a journey. Are you on a journey? I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. I really appreciate Pastor's word about there are seven levels. Seven levels of blessing. Seven levels of it's an idea of completeness and fullness and perfection. But the Bible says that for those who are on this pilgrim of faith, that God makes the Valley of Baca, the place of weeping, actually a place of drinking, a place of pools. And, oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet, whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. The origins of who we are go all the way back, go back nearly some 300-400 years now in the sort of the wake, the afterglow of the Reformation, and a great reviving towards the Word of God, towards personal salvation, towards an awakening, towards a coming out of dead tradition and into encounter. And that journey, that pilgrimage, continues on. But as Americans, we are uniquely blessed that the influence and the impact of the moving of the Spirit in those ancient times, in sort of the middle centuries, in the 15 and 1600s, and as you know, this year is the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. And so I want us to allow the Holy Spirit to in-breathe us afresh with a sense of purpose and destiny and the reality that you and I have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, and that we are literally alive in a divine and unique purpose of God that plays itself out supernaturally in our lives in sometimes the most seemingly insignificant ways, the ways of speaking to the neighbor on the sidewalk or the stranger in the grocery store or to the employer that, you know, is really hard to work for. And to be that one in whom, because of the unique covenant that God has cut through the blood of His Son, those of us who have been given a gift. If you are a Christian, you have been given a divine gift of awakening to know God in person. And right now, your state is such that the Spirit of the Lord, God Himself, in the one who is called the Spirit of truth, say truth. The one who is called the counselor, and it's actually the legal term. It means the legal advocate. How many of you need a good lawyer? For real. And this is the sovereign Lord Almighty. He's not the one who just stands up and says, you know, please forgive. No, this is Jesus who comes before the judgment bar of heaven and presents the case for your life as your legal advocate, that by the case law before God through the blood of Jesus, your case is you have no condemnation. That you are the legitimate heir of God with all things of his kingdom, his glory, and relationship with him. Yours personally. And these are the realities that we possess. And sometimes we need to remember and encourage ourselves. Because I know we just feel awful human sometimes. Living in a world full of awful humans. Oh, wait, did I say that? America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. The reality is that in the behind fabric of the universe, liberty, true liberty, is founded in law, in God's moral law, his existent self that has given us the universe and then has created us in his image. And these things in harmony with one another is his will. We prayed, your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth, not in the future, now, Lord. I have made you a kingdom of priests, he says. And this one, the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. So he is the one that all liberty comes out of. And particularly in our national history, we see the forensic of God having been at work. And so today, let us be uniquely thankful and joyful for this privilege. And also allow the Lord to give us afresh that sense of divine destiny, of where we fit in the puzzle of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm apt to believe, John Adams wrote to Abigail, this day will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival, commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. You will think me transported with enthusiasm, he said, but I am not, for I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain that declaration. Well aware of the toil and the blood and the treasure. And it seems that down through history, liberty is only purchased through toil and blood and treasure. But history imitates truth. The truth has come through Jesus Christ. And it is, in fact, his toil, his blood, and his treasure that was given in divine exchange for every human being that has purchased the reality of human freedom. And there is no other true freedom. The Declaration said, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A direct reference here to a worldview that understood this as a moral universe, that understood the well-being of human society was contingent upon a relationship in harmony with the one who was behind the whole scene. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Only God can give human beings rights that cannot be taken away, and only in Jesus Christ do we have any right. And he's the one who has made that exchange so that as the heir of God, you might come boldly to the throne of grace and petition him for help in time of need. Hallelujah. In breathe today in your spirit a fresh breath of the Holy Ghost. Inalienable rights, and among these are life and liberty and pursuit of happiness, which in that day, you know, meant the ability to hold property. Language creates culture. And it is true that we have drifted, and as you would expect, in evolution of time and information and knowledge increases, language changes. But this is one of the ways in which so many Americans have lost anchor with the fabric that was the rock upon which this nation was originally founded, which was the laws of nature and nature's God endowed by their creator. That's only one God. That's only one God. The American Revolution birthed the American idea of freedom. Its vision for the new nation still struggled up from blood-soaked battlefields 100 years later, the vision of which Lincoln said was conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal once again. And in that frame, that a unique government, one not seen before, not in the history of world governments, but a unique experiment, a government of societies, of the people, that means the regular folks became the governors, by the people, that the regular folks chose regular folks to govern them. And for the people, that the regular folks would have the regular folks' regular interests in mind. It's so simple, but it has gotten complicated. And one of the big complications has been through the law. You remember last week we spoke from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the rulers and counselors, kings, take counsel together? No counsel this way, counsel horizontal, no counsel vertical. Counsel together saying, let us throw off their shackles and break their bonds. They were talking about God and Jesus. Let's get rid of that whole connection and then we'll be truly free. The American Revolution birthed the idea of American freedom. Devotion to freedom is what has formed American nationalism, something that is being called in these days something akin to either a kind of wickedness or ignorance. But I say, hold on, because when I read my Bible, I see that God is indeed the God of nations, that he is engaged personally and intrinsically in the destiny and will and determination of nations, that he calls them by name, that he intends to give the nations as an inheritance and a possession to his son, the king that he has set in Zion's hill. So I understand from that. And when I read Zechariah and Jeremiah and I see the great ingathering and Revelation, and it says the nations in particular will be marching into the great city of Jerusalem, bringing their glory, the glory of their nations, it makes me know. Or as Paul said, God has preordained the times and seasons, the boundaries of your dwelling, in order that men might seek and find the Lord. It leads me to know that a part of my Christian calling is an awareness and an engagement with God's will on earth for my nation. And I believe with all my heart God has ordained blessing and not cursing, mercy and not judgment, prosperity and not poverty. And America among nations has had a beautiful history of blessing that has given us the ability to be generous. America has had a great history. If you look down, literally beginning with the Revolutionary War, and you look through the earth, and the struggle for freedom seems to have always ultimately erupted in revolution and in war. And with all good intention, that original DNA that was in there of people fleeing from oppression and persecution to form a free nation has been the seed of America's vision of herself among nations to be not only a bastion of freedom, but to be one who has a hand of help out to the oppressed, that others may be lifted up into freedom. And yes, we have our own history. Madison called America the workshop of liberty to the civilized world. All men are created equal was entirely radical and new. The long-established relations of dependency in former societies, literally from before the Roman Greco world all the way up through colonial times, the long-established relations of dependency were challenged. Inequality had been a fundamental part of social order for the entire history of human government until America. There were no so-called basic human rights. Things like general elections and the abolition of slavery or women's rights were not part of the social order of human governments. America was unique. And I believe with all my heart in reading our history and seeing the combination of these birth pangs together with the moves of the Spirit in the Great Awakenings, I believe that this new nation was an idea conceived in the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Liberty. The term free speech meant the ability to challenge government authority and not go to jail for it. But that was unheard of in the world. The entire British colonial system was founded on the ability to possess property as a free man. And free men meant free-born white Englishmen who owned property. So the progress, the original birthing of God in his vision and the progress of our nation is absolutely stunning and something to be thankful for and celebrate and find our place in this generation in terms of, Lord, what are you saying by your Spirit now and where is my peace that I fit in? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jefferson believed that the press who misled the public should be jailed. We're still connected to our roots. Religious toleration didn't recognize freedom of religion. There was still state religion. And in fact, this odious phrase, separation of church and state, that has come to mean build a wall between anything that has faith in God in it and anything that human government does. No, but this odious phrase, separation of church and state, arose when Baptists were being jailed for refusing to pay taxes to pay the salaries of Anglican clergymen. That's where we got separation of church and state. And look where we are now. When you mention freedom in America, folks instinctively turn to the Bill of Rights. But when it was ratified, the founders thought it was pointless and, in fact, redundant because they'd already said in the Declaration and the Constitution everything that needed to be said. But we find today that all of the press for rights usually hinges around what's in the Bill of Rights. And the continual admission of various amendments and the redefinition of language. It was not until the 20th century that the Bill of Rights became central to the idea of freedom in this nation. But what is freedom? Does freedom hold conditions? Does freedom have boundaries? What does it mean when it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free? What truth can guarantee freedom? Modernity has taught us to lay aside all tradition and religious belief and arrive at truth using our reason alone. We worship the sovereignty of the individual now. The idea that each person has within him or herself the capability of discovering truth without the aid of ancient wisdom or divine revelation. That we could somehow discover these things on our own through our own individual powers and search. And we've moved into a time in which the whole culture attributes far more importance and power to the individual self than ever before. This was never the original understanding for these United States, nor was it in the minds and hearts of the framers and the founders that it would be individual persons that would be wrangling against one another for my rights, my freedoms. No, it was always seen as much in the biblical vision and way that every individual was intrinsically an important part of a wider community, and there was a symbiotic relationship happening there. The idea that we would serve one another in love was actually a part of the original worldview and founding for a happy society in America. Modern people think we have our own authority. No longer do we think we have the power merely to discover moral reality and truth. This is so true. We think we have the power to create moral reality and truth. You can see that in many of our laws you're familiar with, various laws of society, changes of definitions of various things like marriage in the name of rights, individual rights, of things like infanticide, the murder of unborn children, through something called individual rights. The Liberty Bell is inscribed with the words from Scripture that say, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land, to all of its inhabitants." But absent from that inscription is the context that it rests on a day of atonement for sins. And it's demonstrated in society's obedience to the commands handed down by God who purchased that liberty. And this is the essential reality that each of us as citizens in a nation need to remember. That liberty is purchased through atonement of forgiveness of sins. And there is only one and only one way to do that. There is a way that man thinks is right, but the end thereof, Scripture says, is death. And the problem with human autonomy is that there is no such thing as a man who is his own master. What does it mean to be free indeed? A famous line in the opinion of the Supreme Court, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, says, "At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence." The right to define one's own concept of meaning. The right to define one's own concept of the universe and of the mystery of human life. Kings and rulers take counsel horizontally. There's a way they think is right, but the end is death. We now believe that there is no external cosmic order to which we must conform, but that truth can be constructed according to an individual's will. And so a woman's individual will for freedom over her own body means the power of life and death over her unborn child, whom we must rename fetus, else he or she would be a person. The man or woman who presumes to master themselves of themselves must ultimately become servants of something. And if not slaves to our own passions, then the passions of another. If not servants of the truth, than slaves to our own deceptions. Or as one notable sage observed in his standing ovation reception at the 1980s Grammys,
"You might be the ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Come on. Serve somebody.
You may be a Republican or a Democrat.
Hey.
You might even be a libertarian, some folks think like that. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
No, that's true.
Serve somebody.
Yes, indeed, you'll have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Have to serve somebody.
Yeah. Serve somebody.
Well, you may think you're living, but you might really be dead. You might be sleeping on the floor, or sleeping in a feather bed. If you're looking for liberty, there's only one place to be found.
Hey.
In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living on holy ground. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, indeed, you're to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Hey, Dennis, won't you preach on it?
Somebody.
Preach on it, baby. Somewhere in between. But anybody looking free for freedom, you gotta get down on your knees. Who the Son set free is free indeed. There ain't no other way. There's just one true liberty. Is what the scriptures say. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, indeed, you'll have to serve somebody.
John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus said, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins." "Well, who are you?" they ask. I thought He just told them. "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but He who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from Him, I tell the world." They didn't understand He was telling them about His Father. So Jesus said, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own." Even Jesus. Serve somebody. Come on. Hey, serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
When you've lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own, but speak what just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. Friends, this is also true for us, for you, for each of us, and for us corporately. In this unique work of the covenant, the Spirit of the Lord, that legal advocate, your lawyer, now has come not just to be with you, but dwell in you. The legal case, the legal state of your case changed forever. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation, no penalty. But instead, you have received the will of an inheritance that indeed has seven complete levels of recovery. So let's pursue, let's overtake, let's recover all. Hallelujah. The one who sent me is with me. Can you look at your neighbor and say, he's with us? The Father is with us. The Son is with us. Says, he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. You're going to have to serve somebody. This is Son of Man. God himself. Servant to himself. Amazing revelation of real moral law, community, covenant, love, how a happy society functions. Hallelujah. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Are you believing today? Have you believed today? To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, tell your neighbor, hold on. Tell him, hold on. You hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. The Lord is making disciples. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to just pass out insurance policies. No, he wants a formation in this earthly mallow, this earthly stuff that we are. He wants that creation of the Son of God who is free, utterly free. Free to serve. The good pleasure of the Father. He's going to have to. Hallelujah. You will really be my disciples. Now here's a key. That holding on, that continuing on, that pressing in, that going into the storm, rowing in the wind, and even when it looks like the Lord's going to pass your boat and leave you there in the storm, you're still holding on, pressing forward. He said, those are the people that will know the truth. Then you will know the truth, and here it comes. That truth will set you free. Will set you free. They answered, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Sound familiar? I mean, that's the mantra of the late postmodern culture. A lot of empty chatter in ourselves, figuring out the meaning of existence and life and the universe. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Pat your neighbor. If the Son sets you free. Hallelujah. Free indeed. What does it mean to be free indeed? I remember a few years ago, there were two very dangerous killers. You might remember Richard Matt and David Sweat. And they escaped maximum security in upstate New York. They were on the run for over a month up into the wilderness and breaking into various people's cabins and all of that kind of stuff. And they were terrible, terrible, dangerous men, had done terrible things. They were already serving life sentences. They rigged up this really elaborate, almost impossible way of breaking out of the maximum security prison. They managed to break out, and they were free for nearly a month. But guess what? They were not free indeed, right? Because the law still held them as prisoner. Their body may have moved to a different location for a time, but the law had them entrapped. This is where you have been freed from the law of sin and death, folks. You have been released into the perfect law of liberty. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you have a freedom, a liberty to share with others and set other captives free. This week in San Francisco, did you see this story? An illegal immigrant went to the police station to report his car, which must have been illegally registered, to report his car stolen. And when they found out he was illegal and the whole registration with his car was therefore, you know, funky, they detained him overnight. But because California has decided in its own human wisdom how law should be written without seeking higher wisdom. Thank you, Ninth Circuit Court, Fourth Circuit. California has a law that restricts the police from acting as an extension of the immigration control enforcement. And so the man, using that law, sued the city and won $190,000 from taxpayers. You gotta serve somebody. History's most often used illustration of deliverance is, you know what it is, it's the one from the Bible, of Israel being delivered from Egypt, from bondage in Egypt. But if you remember, they were free for a time, but they were not free indeed. They were freed through the blood. They ran, remember, out into the wilderness, and they came to a place where there was a sea. And then Pharaoh changed his mind. He said, nope, I decided I still want them as slaves. So they were free, but they weren't free indeed. And as Pharaoh's armies came chasing down after him, it was the extending deliverance of the blood and then the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit that came down. And the Bible says that he literally came and stood in between the ones he had freed through the blood and the ones who would capture them again. And he stood there throwing light on them and darkness on them. And God spoke to Moses and said, what's in your hand? And this is a word to each of us today, because you have an anointing from the Holy One. The Spirit of the Lord is on us to proclaim liberty, to heal broken hearts. Hallelujah. And God told Moses, lift up that hand. Lift up that authority. Lift up that divine rod and make a way. And the seas parted and Israel went across on dry ground. And as the armies that would re-enslave them followed after, we know the story, the water closed in. And guess what? Then Israel was free indeed. Hallelujah. They were free to And this is the problem, isn't it? That we forget that he has set us free for freedom to serve somebody. Come on. Free indeed. The blood brought them out, but only after Pharaoh and his armies were drowned in the sea were the Israelites free indeed. I saw this story. An American migrant to Israel opened a pizzeria in the Orthodox town of Beit Shemesh. The proprietor initially chose the Statue of Liberty for his logo. The rabbi came along and said, nope, it's not going to work here. He said, there's a problem, spiritually speaking, because observant Jews, quote the rabbi, observant Jews don't have liberty. We're servants of God. You got to... Likewise, the Puritans held that society had natural law, which was the covenant between God and man, and civil law, which would be the covenant between men in a society in covenant with God. And there are our original foundations. They understood that every man, every woman, was ordained to be a part of a happy society wherein we served one another and served God together. The covenant theology of the Jews and the Puritan founders is the original idea of freedom, and it comes straight out of Scripture. both recognize that without freedom from human slavery to sin, there's no possibility of human freedom. And that's the catch. One's freedom to bind oneself to another is the ultimate freedom. Did you hear that? God, in his sovereign freedom, has limited himself within himself and has bound himself to limited man through Jesus Christ. That is ultimate freedom. In liberty is the love that binds us together. Unlike slavery, a covenant is a set of mutual and reciprocal commitments into which one enters freely. And the idea of covenant is the foundation for law, that mutual acceptance by the two parties entering into a relationship and binding themselves. But in so doing, they are freely bound because they've exercised the determination of will to enter that agreement. That's the foundation. Covenant is the foundation for law. Having committed themselves, they are in an important sense unfree, bound to obey the law that then supports their liberty. Freedom costs something. And we see in it the ultimate price paid for the only true freedom. And that's what I said, freedom from sin, freedom from death, purchased through the sinless life and bloody death of the Savior. Remember what Adam said when he wrote to Abigail. I don't forget the blood and toil and treasure that has bought this liberty. Let us remember and celebrate and give thanks today for the ultimate blood and toil and treasure that was given at Calvary. For us, for our inheritance. If we turn back, in fact, I did this. If we turn to the back of our Bible, I did this the last couple of days, just looking through the concordance, right? If you turn back, under the heading of liberty, you find Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound. The essential nature of the Holy Spirit is freedom. Freedom from bondage. James 1. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not just a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he'll be blessed in his doing. Say, perfect law of liberty. James 2, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. See, liberty, freedom, has bounds. It has commitments. Because you got to serve somebody. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. That's the law of liberty. Wow. Remember Jesus said, when you stand praying, first forgive. If you don't forgive, your heavenly Father can't forgive you. There is something behind this moral universe, someone who is working. And he came in the incarnation to set all things right and start a new administration where the harmony between God and his man would be inaugurated and fulfilled in God himself filling the human race by his Spirit. Psalm 146, the Lord sets the prisoners free. Romans 6, he who has died to sin has been set free. Where does freedom come from? It comes from being released from the bondage of sin. And that's why the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, foreshadowing the work of Christ, is so essential to all of the understanding of law and covenant and happy human society, and in particular, human freedom. Romans 8, the Spirit of life has set you free. 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You are called to freedom, only don't use your freedom as an occasion for the flesh, America, but through love serve one another. That's liberty. 1 Peter 2, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. This is one of the places where our laws are being used now to wrangle against one another, to hurt or harm or gain advantage over the neighbor. Not so the law of God. Not so the law of liberty. And the church, Christians, we're the only people on the face of the earth who have the opportunity to be the shining city on a hill. A city with a beacon of true freedom and liberty. Acts 13, everyone who believes this gospel, say this gospel. Say everyone. Everyone. Everyone who believes this gospel is free. Hallelujah. 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 You are free people. And Revelation 1:5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Reminded me of the words of an old hymn. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer fully be. O light that follows all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. Hallelujah. May the Lord rekindle the light of liberty in your mind and body and spirit today, that you might live as free people. As free people. Oh, joy that seeks me through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not in vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Free people. Free to serve the Lord Jesus, to be a unique demonstration of the pleasure of the Father in the earth, in our generation. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord. And we do stand in the gap. You know, there's a movie that has come out recently called Loving. I don't know if any of you have seen it. But it's actually named for the family that humble man and woman from Virginia, from Caroline County in Virginia. A colored woman, a white man, who fell in love. And at that time, I was a teenager during those days. At that time, in many states in America, it was against the law for interracial marriage. I think you know that your pastors are in interracial marriage. In my lifetime, look what the Lord has done. In my lifetime, look what the Lord has done. In that day, children of that union, and they had three beautiful children, the children of that union were considered illegitimate and unable to inherit. Look what the Lord has done. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Hallelujah. But here's the rub. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, to indulge as an excuse, a license to indulge the human passions, the celebrations of the loving family and the change in the Constitution and the change in state law. Do you know Alabama still had that law, though they didn't enforce it? They still had that law on the books until 2008. Men taking counsel together outside of reference to the laws of nature and nature's God. Right? Come on. But in our story, we have to find and see the glory. God has intended something marvelous. And for some of us, he has put us specifically in the way and in the day that he is carving out his kingdom in the earth where all men might be free. And surely, if Jesus Christ himself was required in order to break the law of sin and death and establish the perfect law of liberty, was required to give of himself in toil and blood and treasure. And surely, if the apostles and the saints that have gone before us down through the ages did likewise. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, we seldom hear of him. It was because he was martyred early. He was the first martyr. You remember the devil came to Jesus and he said, and it said that he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. That was the place where the high priest would stand to watch for the morning light. And that's the way that the Jewish people had their calendar when they knew to do the sacrifice, the morning and evening sacrifice, so on and so forth. It was the unique position of the high priest to stand on the pinnacle of the temple and declare, morning has broken. Hallelujah. The devil took Jesus there and said, throw yourself off. If you're the Son of God, God will catch you. But he was already recognizing that this was the high priest to come. This Jesus that would come and make intercession, who would become the servant of servants, the suffering servant, and make intercession for the saints. He got to serve somebody. And James, who didn't believe at first, but remember what Jesus said in John 8. He said, when I'm lifted up, all of the Jews that don't believe will suddenly go. And a lot of Gentiles too. He is the one. And after the resurrection, Jesus' siblings, James in particular, believed. James was famous for his prayer life. The stories of him say they called him Camel Knees for his life on his knees, his life of prayer and intercession. And he was so faithful and particular to continuing to keep the Jewish law in the midst of his radical faith and salvation in the one who had been his half-brother, but now he recognized was Messiah. That the Jews put great stock in James, and particularly because of that relationship. And they were continually trying to woo James, to use him to testify to the Jews and turn the Jews against Jesus. But James stayed on his knees in prayer. He continued to serve God. And it came to a crescendo in a particular time and on a particular day when the chief priests and the rulers thought to use James to speak to the Jews and turn them away from Jesus. And they gave him opportunity to speak, assuming because he observed the law, he was a Nazarite from birth, so they saw him always in the temple. They gave him opportunity to speak, expecting him to deny the Christ. And he did exactly the opposite. And they hauled him up to the pinnacle of the temple. Gave him an opportunity to renounce the Lord. And all the more he testified. Now that pinnacle was the one place on the southeastern corner where it was over 700 feet from the top of the wall to the rocks below. They threw him off. He didn't die. But the Jews in revolt gathered around and began to stone him. And finally, a fuller, a laundryman, came with the club that he used to beat and clean laundry with and clubbed him to death. And the testimony is that the entire time, James was praying aloud for his murderers. He was serving somebody. The blood and toil and treasure that has gone in to this coming down to us is amazing. Is amazing. And so today, as a family, as we have our picnic together, the next couple of days, as Americans, as we thank the Lord and celebrate America's birthday, let us be thankful. And let us offer ourselves afresh as living sacrifices on the altar of the Father's will as his servants. What do you say? Tell your neighbor. One way or the other, every man, every woman is going to serve somebody. How about you? Let's serve the Lord. Any hear from these guys again? Come on. Why don't you stand up? Receive a fresh impartation today.
You might be the ambassador, England or to France. You might be to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, indeed, you'll have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
And it may be the devil alone. Lord, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be Republican, or you may be a Democrat. You might even be a libertarian. Some folks, they think like that. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, indeed, you'll have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the law, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, you may think you're living, but you might really be dead. You might be sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a feather bed. If you're looking for liberty, there's only one place to be found. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living on holy ground, you'll have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, indeed, serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil.
It may be the Lord.
You'll have to serve somebody. Preach on it. Preach on it, Dennis. Somebody in between. But anybody looks for freedom, you gotta get down on your knees. Who the sun sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Ain't no other way. There's just one true liberty. It's in what the need, you'll have to serve somebody.
Stir somebody.
Hey, it may be the devil, hey, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yeah, serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yeah, you have to serve somebody.
Do present ourselves as living sacrifice. This unique creation, born again, a new species, inhabited and filled by the very person of God, by your Spirit, Lord. And today, Spirit of truth, Spirit of liberty, our legal advocate, we welcome you afresh. Come and breathe on every heart, on every mind. We thank you that indeed the blood of Jesus has set us free. Now come, Holy Spirit, and renew each one of us. Father, I pray. For refreshing. I pray. For reviving. I pray for renewal, Lord. I pray, God, that the burdens that have rolled down will be rolled back today in the name of Jesus. Ah, Lord, where shadows have closed in, let the light shine. Come, Holy Spirit. Ah, Lord, where the enemy has come in discouragement, to dishearten, where there have arisen financial troubles and woes. God, we gather together under the shadow of the cross, the standard of liberty. And we declare, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He became poor that we might be the rich inheritors. Now, Lord, I pray for a fresh demonstration, a revelation of the inheritance of God, breaking forth in each of these your servants. And we commit ourselves to you afresh as servants, your servants, as servants, as servants of one another, as servants of your purpose for our nation, Lord, as servants of our city and the good intention you have, as servants to our family members. God, revive and refresh. Hallelujah, Lord.
Sun sets free is free indeed. He who the sun sets free is free indeed. He who the sun sets free is free indeed.
If you are suffering from carpal tunnel syndrome or joint aches, tendon maladies, of your tendons, yeah, come right up here. If that's you, just come right up here. There's healing. Arthritis, I feel fire in bones. Hallelujah. I think there's someone here who has some kind of an old injury, an old bone injury. Maybe it was a break in the past, and I don't know if arthritis has grown there. The Lord is present to heal. If I could get the healing team just to come with the oil. Lord, thank you for your fire. Hey, come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. There are two people that have been suffering from anxiety. You've been sleepless. You've been unable to sleep peacefully. The Lord is here. You're going to be delivered this morning of that. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus. There we go. She's good. She's good. Hallelujah, Lord. Let your glory come. Go ahead, healing team. Sure. Gloria. Apparently the Lord already started over here. So. Thank you, Lord. Receive a refreshing breath today. Receive a renewing spirit today. Hallelujah.
Freedom.
There's healing for mouths, various kinds of maladies in the mouth, the gums, the teeth, tongue, in Jesus' name, various forms of cancer. If you or a loved one is suffering from any kind of tumor or cancer in the mouth, the throat, the lungs and chest area, also on the web, watching with us on the web, we release this healing glory for you. Pursue, overtake, recover all. For loved ones, for children, and for parents. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Let your healing glory come now. For our children, for our parents. Hallelujah. There's one or two families here that literally the tendency is that when the family gets together, it's always a rehearsal of the bad things that have happened. It's always a re-experiencing the divisions and the brokenness. God is breaking that cycle today by His Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We release the freedom of the Lord over your family. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Your miracle working power. Present, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Free indeed. I'm free indeed.
Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Korea, Dora Lava Karama, Shondere Lava Korea, Dora to recover your children. We pray a blessing. I feel an anointing over our children right now. So if you have children to collect, you can collect your children. We're going to mosey on out to the picnic. We pray a blessing over these kids. Lord, we thank you that they have been appointed to unique and precious destiny. We extend protection of the Lord over each of them for this school, the wrapping up of the school year into the summertime. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Jenna. Go ahead.
Freedom.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus.
Like there's one or two folks here, maybe you're watching on the internet, and you have had a history as a runner, but your feet have begun to bother you. This may be something that has, you know, been going on for a while, and in your heart you would like to still be running. There is a fresh grace here for you to be revived, to be healed in your feet. So if that's you, hallelujah, Lord. We touch your feet. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news. Hallelujah, Lord. Mm-hmm. right, guys. It's over to you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.